remember how you told me that life may not be easy, and everything that I need you've already given me. I remember how you told me I could trust you completely, so why am I doubting when you prove that you'd fight for me? You walk me through fires, pull me from flames. If you're in this with me, you're walking with me. I'm changed by your mercy, covered by your peace. I'm living out the victory. Doesn't mean I won't feel the heat. You walk me through fire, from flames. If you're in this with me, I won't be afraid. When the smoke billows higher, oh and higher, and it feels like I can barely breathe, I walk through these fires, 'cause you're walking. Showed me the price of my redemption. Lord, how could I question when you proved that you'd die for me? You've walked me through fire, pulled me from flames. You're in this with me, I won't be afraid. When the smoke billows higher, oh and higher, and it feels like I can barely breathe, I walk through these fires, 'cause you're walking with me. I walk through these fires, 'cause you're walking.
I want to testify. This past week, I woke up. I don't remember exactly what day it was, but I was in so much pain. I couldn't move this shoulder. It hurt all the way up my neck into my head. Gabe, he kept getting the ice pack for me, and when it would defrost, he'd put it back in, I put it back on. And I was thinking, Lord, I just need to touch my body, because I do not want to go to the doctor or the ER. Now's not the time. So I went in my mama's room, and I said, Mama, I need relief. You're going to have to pray for me. And she prayed for me. Of course, I sent one of the boys to the store, and they got me some Advil dual action. That stuff works. With a little bit of prayer, that stuff works. But I was completely pain-free the next day. And I just thank the Lord. I've not had any pain today I have felt so good in my body, and I'm just thankful.
Thank you, Jesus.
Have you ever stared down a mountain too tall to climb? No way to get over, no matter how hard you try. But somehow the Lord got you to the other side. Can I get a witness? Have you stood on the bank of a Red Sea wrestling doubt? 'Cause it's too far to swim and too wide to get around. But the good Lord brought you through walking on dry ground. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? Can I get a hand raised high? Can I get a witness? Anybody want to testify? If you've cried out for a miracle and you see possible, can I get a witness? Are you standing in a fire and the flames won't let you go? But you're still holding on to a single thread of hope that the Lord can deliver, and you won't even smell like smoke. Can I get a witness? Thank you, Jesus. Can I get a witness? Can I get a hand raised high? Can I get a witness? Anybody want to testify? If you've cried out for a miracle and you've seen Him do the impossible, can't stay silent, if you can't keep quiet, then here's your chance. Here's your chance. Can I get a witness?
Just go on and raise your hand.
Can I get a witness?
If you cried out for a miracle and you've seen Him do the impossible,
can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness?
Somebody ought to testify.
Okay, y'all can all clap with us and sing.
Somebody ought to testify. Oh, somebody ought to testify. Somebody ought to testify. Somebody ought to testify. Oh,
I name them one by one. But most of all, I thank God for all He's done.
Somebody ought to testify. Oh, somebody ought to testify.
I said,
for God I'll live, for God I'll die. Somebody ought to testify.
Well, the Hebrew boys, they can testify how God took out the heat in that fiery fire. Well, come here, Daniel, what do you have to say? The lies were made pillows for his head to lay.
Somebody ought to testify. Oh, somebody ought to testify.
I said,
for God I'll live, for God I'll die. Somebody ought to testify.
Well, the Hebrew boys, they can testify how God took out the heat in that fiery fire. But come here, Daniel, what do you have to say? The lies were made pillows for his head to lay.
Somebody ought to testify. Oh, somebody ought to testify.
I said,
for God I'll live, for God I'll die. Somebody ought to testify. Somebody ought to testify. Oh, somebody ought to testify.
I said,
for God I'll live, for God I'll die.
I said,
for God I'll live, for God I'll die. For God I'll live, for God I'll die. Somebody ought to testify.
Speak the word.
your servant will go. Speak the word, Lord, and your servant will go.
Just speak the word, Lord. I'll go where you have me to go. I remember some of those words when I came to an altar of repentance. I remember telling the Lord, if you'll just fill me with your spirit, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say. You know what? Those are promises that God expects us to keep. God is not a covenant breaker. And really, He doesn't understand when we make promises and don't keep them. Bible says it's better to never make a vow than to make one and break it. Amen. But I'm so glad that God is a covenant keeper, aren't you? Amen. If you love the Lord tonight, give Him a hand clap of praise. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Appreciate you coming out on a Sunday night. If you have your Bibles, go with us to the book of Exodus tonight as we rehearse a story in the Bible, one of the most miraculous stories, in my opinion. There are many. There's so many. But this one I remember from the days of Sunday school, and many, many songs have been written about this, and certainly a number of sermons have been preached. Nevertheless, that is where the Lord led me for tonight. In the 16th chapter of the book of Exodus, and thank you for standing for the reading of God's holy word, verses number 1 through 5. Again, Exodus chapter number 16, verses 1 through 5. When you get there, say, praise the Lord. The Bible reads, "And they took the journey, their journey, from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day." Everybody say, every day. "That I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily." Brother Jim, would you lead us to the Lord in prayer tonight and ask God's blessing and His anointing upon His messenger. Everybody said, amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Tonight, for a little while, I want to bring a message entitled Fresh Manna. Fresh Manna. How many knows what a fresh anointing is? Hallelujah. How many needs a fresh anointing? I find myself addicted, amen, to the anointing presence of God. I really can't go a day without speaking to the Lord and asking the Lord to lead me and guide me and help me. And just sometimes I just need to vent to the Lord, and I'm so thankful that He is there for us each and every day. I want to take us back for a little while tonight, if I could. The children of Israel have just been released from about 450 years of Egyptian bondage. Now, I would imagine that there was joy and celebration when Aaron and Moses began to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. They went on their merry way, and you already know that soon after that, I was reading again this week, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened. And you know what? God hardened Pharaoh's heart. The Bible tells us. It wasn't necessarily just his thoughts, but God hardened his heart. Amen, because God wanted to make sure that this enemy, amen, was defeated. So Pharaoh's heart was hardened. He got all of his chariots and all of his men, and they began to go after the children of Israel. And you know the story, and I'm not going to dwell on that part of it very long, but children of Israel began to get close to the Red Sea, and the mountain had them boxed in, and the Red Sea was before them, and behind them there came a cloud of dust with the Egyptian army and Pharaoh leading it. Amen. They were going to come, and they were going to take the children of Israel back into bondage. But God prevailed, and how many knows that he told them, this day you'll see them no more, because the last of the Egyptians and their chariots were drowned in the very same blessing, amen, that God opened up the Red Sea and led the children of Israel to freedom. Now we find that the children of Israel have just left Elam. Now, what is so important about Elam? Elam is sometimes where the church likes to be. Because Elam was a pleasant place. The Bible tells us it had 12 wells of water. You remember sometimes the children of Israel couldn't even find one well of water. But in Elam, there were 12 wells of water. And there were 70 or 70 palm trees. Now the children of Israel had only been gone a month and a half. A month and a half. Out of freedom. I tell you what, when I got relieved from the sin bondage that I had been carrying, I believe that I was on cloud nine for longer than a month and a half. In fact, I remember very vividly the night that I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. When we got home that night, it was late, but I wanted to call aunts and uncles and cousins and tell them what had happened. And Mother and Daddy said, "You just need to wait till tomorrow." And I said, "Well, I want to do it now." Because I was so excited about what God had done for me. There was a definite change in my life. Those of you who have been born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, can I get a testimony? Can I get a witness? There is a transformation. There is a power source that God gives us. Amen. And I was so excited. And I would imagine probably that honeymoon season, if you want to call it, with the Holy Ghost, lasted more than a month and a half. In fact, probably 5 or 6 months before I really begin to sort of calm down. And when I'm saying calm down, I was still just excited and just happy. But I think I had told everybody that I possibly could what the Lord had done for me. You know why? Because nobody can tell it like you can. Amen. Mom and Dad could have told the folks, but can't nobody give a testimony of what God has done for you except you. But here the children of Israel have only been in the wilderness and only been in the journey, have already seen the miracle performing God, amen, come on the scene for them, and it's barely a month and a half in, and they're already murmuring against Moses, and some of the things they said would surprise you as a Holy Ghost-filled person, as a saint of God. But the reason that they were so comfortable in Elam was because, again, it was a green place. The water was there. There wasn't an enemy in sight. The Egyptian army had already been taken care of. And there began to be a little bit of complacency there for the children of Israel. But they wasn't being fed. I want you to understand that. Sometimes our most pleasant places in God and in our walk with Him, some of the places that we feel that we finally reached a place where Satan is not bombarding us each and every day, and maybe things are going well at work, and maybe the wife is fixing the kind of food that you like, and the children are behaving, and everything seems to be going really, really well. And if we're not careful, we want to stay in that Elam, in that place of serenity and peace and water and the 70 palm trees. But there was no food there. It wasn't being fed. And they wasn't progressing in their journey. How many knows that when we start working for the Lord and we start living for the Lord, we're on a journey? man, this place is not my home. How many is thankful we got a better place to go to? And the glorious place that the Lord Himself has prepared. So Moses is told by God to gather the children of Israel together, and it's time to leave Elam, and they go to a place that ironically is called the Wilderness of Sin, and it is just a place between Elam and Mount Sinai. So they get there, and evidently within a month and a half, the bologna sandwiches and the bread and the potato chips and the chocolate chip cookies that they brought from Egypt were gone. I said all those delicacies were gone. Everybody knows there's a time that we need to be dependent on God. So many times when we've got the delicacies, when everything's going right, we don't pray as much as we need to. When everything's right at hand, sometimes we don't seek the Lord like we need to. And the children of Israel kind of looked around and they realized that we don't have anything to eat. You know what their first response was? Why didn't you leave us in Egypt? You know what they're saying? Why didn't you leave us in bondage? How many knows that after that honeymoon time is over with the Holy Ghost and we finally get down to reality and we find out what every Holy Ghost-filled person inevitably is going to find out. Your troubles ain't over when you get the Holy Ghost. In fact, sometimes they just begin. But I want to give you some assurance tonight. He that is within you, amen, is able to take you through any problem or trial or situation that you may face. How many is thankful for that? How many is thankful for the infilling of the Spirit of God? Amen. So the honeymoon time was over and they realized that, you know what, back in bondage, and I'm using that term purposefully, because that's what they were. They wasn't free. Wasn't able to go and do what they wanted to. Man, the government there, Pharaoh and his kingdom, would give them enough bread and enough meat to keep them satisfied. Why? So that they could work from daylight till dawn. No, daylight to dusk. Daylight to dawn is banker's hours. We ain't got no bankers in here. Daylight to dusk is bread man hours. And they were working all day long. And Egypt was just giving them enough. And they realized, and they got dependent on that. They got dependent on what the world would give them. They got dependent on not relying on God. And swapping their freedom and swapping their deliverance and swapping their victory so that their bellies or their flesh could be filled. And I want you to understand, it wasn't just a few out of the tribes. It wasn't just some of the procrastinators or agitators or sweet potatoes. It wasn't some, none of them. It was some, the Bible said, the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. I imagine it started, why did you take us out of Elam? They had well waters there and they had palm trees. And by the way, Moses, why in the world have you led us out here in this wilderness of sin, this barren place? We don't have anything to eat. We had it better in Egypt. At least we sat by the flesh pots and eat and had bread to full. Would that we had died with a full belly in Egypt rather than being free and on our way to the promised land. Church, there's a message there. There is a message to the church today. It's not always going to be easy. It's not always going to be pleasant. So many times we don't grow spiritually when things are pleasant around us. But you let troubles and trials and situations come against us and persecution. That's when the church in the old time began to grow the most. Amen. But let me tell you, the reward is going to be well worth it. So here we find they're murmuring and they're complaining. The whole congregation was in one mind and one accord. Amen. We preach that all the time. Come on, church, get in one mind and one accord. I want to change that. Get in one mind and the right accord. Amen.
We can be in one mind and one accord and all be, amen, in negativity land. Amen. We can all be moaning and groaning and murmuring. It said the whole congregation was murmuring. They was in one mind and one accord. But it was the wrong accord. Amen. When you get together and you pray that God has His will and His way, how many knows that the bread will come? God will rain the blessings down. I believe the church of today needs to get to a point where we say, yes, Lord, rain the blessings down. I don't want to depend on this one. I don't want to depend on that. I want to depend on You, Lord, to make a way. Not only to feed me naturally and physically, but more importantly, to feed me spiritually. That's the manna, the fresh manna that we need. So God in heaven hears the murmuring and complaining. Brother Chris, there's a message there too. Sometimes I think, well, all we hear that God hears is our soft, sweet voice of prayer. No, He hears that moaning and groaning and complaining. Man, He hears when things are not going right. And unfortunately, maybe sometimes He hears more of that than things that are going right. So God speaks to Moses. And He tells Moses, He said, I'm going to rain bread down from heaven. I don't know if you've ever read the story and researched about what the actual manna was. How many knows it wasn't cotton candy? And it wasn't loaves of bread already packaged and just cooked. Amen. By the way, there is a, you know, I worked for Flowers Baking Company for years and years and years. So there is a walking track out there that borders right against the bakery property. And Sister Penny and I have been walking. And I said, you know what? They should at least move this walking trail or the bakery one. Because you're walking trying to get good health. And the whole time you're walking around there, you're smelling that nature's own honey wheat just a cooking in the ovens. And now, man, it smells so good. But I want you to know, those of you that researched, the bread that came down from heaven was not already prepared bread. Many people would say it was an act of nature. I've even read that there were certain insects that sort of pollinated the blooms and caused the blooms to put forth this little tiny white wheat-looking thing that was finally compressed and mashed and made into dough that made the bread. Oh, and some of us think, Lord, feed me some bread. Don't give me this junk. You mean I'm going to have to beat this stuff into dough and then mix some water with that dough and then make some bread? Lord, that's too hard. But He said, I'm going to rain bread down from heaven. But I thought as I was researching that and the people who are not fully persuaded that there is a God. Do you know there's still people in the world today that don't believe that there is a God? And the very thing that amazes me is they use the very breath that God gave them to say that there is no God. Because the Bible plainly tells us that man was born. He was made from dust of the earth and he was lying there. Couldn't do anything, couldn't move and all until God breathed the breath of life into him. Then he became a living soul. And some of those people would deny the very existence of God. God's done too much for me. God has filled me with His Spirit, His love. He redeemed me from a sin nature. Amen. I'm so glad that I know that God is real. Amen. And I want to tell everybody that I come in contact with that the Spirit of the Lord is real. But many, many people still deny the fact. And they said it was an act of nature. Guess who spoke nature into existence? Guess who said, let there be light. Let there be a firmament. Let there be waters upon the land. It was God Himself in the very form of creation that made all things, and nothing was made that was without God's hand or His voice spoke it into existence. But yet they said it was an act of nature. Isn't it amazing that the act of nature only showed up when the children of Israel had nothing else to eat? And you Bible readers know that when they crossed over Jordan into the promised land, the manna quit coming. Wasn't them some smart insects? They knew exactly the timeline to quit pollinating the flower. That's a bunch of malarkey. It was a miracle from God. Amen. And we quit, and we need to quit denying the miracles of God. Amen. Listen, miracle doesn't need an explanation from me. All it needs for me to do is believe it. Amen. When we pray one for another, I really don't have to explain it, because God said, if you'll not with all pray the prayer of faith, you'll be delivered. How many believe that? We serve a mighty God who is able to do all things, even feed a multitude of people with a little bitty grain that they was able to make into bread. Now, it came with directions. How many reads directions on the product today? I know a lot of health people, they're starting to read all this stuff on there. I just checked the date. And I pray and say, Lord, bless it. How many has ever prayed, Lord, bless this food, take the calories out, and all those. Church, that's when you're back in Elam. You don't want no hardship. You don't want nothing to go wrong. Lord, leave me in Elam. Give me plenty of water, palm trees, and feed me. But yet, God gave instructions. He said, Moses, tell them that they are only to pick the fresh manna that comes down daily. Could God have sent enough bread to feed that army for the rest of the duration of the trip? Well, of course he could. Jesus took two fishes and five loaves and fed 5,000 and had 12 baskets of fragments left over. I don't believe there's a dietitian anywhere that can cut that into that small of pieces and feed that many people, but it was a miracle of God. So, God said through Moses, tell them to only take enough of the manna for their family for one day. Except on the sixth day, then gather twice as much. There were some in the congregation who thought they could sneak something over on God. Now, I know we don't have anybody like that in the church world today. Amen. Because we know that God knows and sees everything. He knows our hearts. He knows our thoughts. He even knows the number of hairs upon our head. You're not getting anything past God. Everything is out in the open to God. You can hide it from pastor. You can hide it from one another. But you can't hide it from God. He knows everything. But there were some in the children of Israel who thought that they could go out and get enough manna and they'd sleep in the morning. Well, it doesn't say that, but that's probably what they had in mind. If I can gather enough today for enough to 2 or 3 days, then I won't have to go. But you know what happened to it? Worms got in it, and it had a foul odor. This doesn't go very well when you preach it in a church. But since I got loving saints here tonight and understanding saints, I'm going to tell you something. There is a type and shadow of that feeding of that heavenly manna. You can't live the rest of your life on yesterday's blessings or the last prayer time or the last revival. How many know it's new and refreshing every single day? Amen. The Word of God is new and it's refreshing every single day. The prayer life that we go into our closet and pray, it's a new and refreshing time, because God knows the day and hour that we're living in, and what we need is today. We need to gather of that spiritual food on a daily basis and not try to store it up. Amen. And not read our Bible and pray and seek God like we're supposed to. Except on the Sabbath day, he let them get twice as much. And the Bible said it began to get moldy. It began to have worms in it, and it had an awful odor. Church, we need fresh manna daily. In verse 4, then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day. I want you to take note of that. Every day. Every day I need the Lord. Every day I want to hear from Him. Every day, I want to speak to Him. Every day, I need that fresh anointing. Man, I'm not saying that I lose out with God every day. I'm just saying it's hard to live a life for the Lord every single day in this world that we're living in. Without Him to lead me, without Him to guide me, without Him to bless me on a daily basis, there's no telling where I would be. Probably in a wilderness, moaning and groaning and complaining like the children of Israel was. But there was a reason that God chose to do what He did. How many knows that God has a purpose for everything that He does? He doesn't say, "Whoa, I didn't mean to do that." He always has a purpose for everything that He does. He has a purpose for the situations that we endure sometimes. We don't understand it. We say, "God, what in the world? What good can come out of this?" And then after it happens, we say, okay, Lord, you did pretty good. You knew exactly what you was doing. Many times I have had that to happen. At the end of the trial, at the end of the tribulation, at the end of the sickness, the affliction, or whatever it was, God gets honor and glory. He has a purpose for everything that He does. Not only did He tell them, "You need to come out every day and gather it," but the reason He did that, He said, "I want to prove them." They're a month and a half into this journey that's going to take 40 years. Not because of my inability, but because of their inability to follow instructions and to trust in God. That trip should have never, ever taken that long. It's like me and Penny sometimes. She said, "Why don't you just stop and ask directions?" I said, "It's got to be up here somewhere." And then I get there and I say, "Well, they must have moved it. It's got to be there somewhere." But there's a reason. God said, "If you will trust me now, come on, if you'll trust me now, then I can count on you to trust me down the road. If you'll trust me in the little things, amen, and I know that you'll trust me when the road gets hard and the situation gets bad and the problems arise, because I know that already you've proven that you're going to put your faith and trust in me, and you're going to seek me on a daily basis, and you're going to rely on me and not your own ability." He said, "I'm going to prove them whether they will walk in my law or no." You know, sometimes the trials and the tests that God put us through are uncomfortable, to say the least. But I will assure you, through every trial, through every test, through every problem, you'll come out stronger. Just like the three Hebrew children, I believe they came out a lot stronger on the other end of the fire. And they were already faithful because they would not bow down to a pagan god. They said, "Absolutely not. You can kill us. You can do whatever you want to us. Throw us in the midst of a burning fiery furnace." But God brought them out. He tried them. Many times we have to walk through trials. Many times we have to go through situations that are not pleasant. We'd love to dwell in Elam, in the comfort zone of glorifying and praising God. But this walk gets hard sometimes. But I want to assure you that if you'll trust God each and every day, God will make a way. God has always blessed with bread. He did it with the fishes and the two fishes and five loaves. He also did it with the widow woman who had just a tiny bit of meal and a little bit of oil. And the prophet of God came by and he said, "That's well and good. You're making a fire and you're going to feed yourself and your son and then you're going to die." He said, that's fine, but feed me first. You know, I thought so many times, oh, how many of us would say, "Ain't no way, buddy. You know, this is all I got. I'm going to feed myself. This is it." But evidently that woman was a faithful woman. Evidently she was a believer in Almighty God, but He would make a way. You know, so she did. She made the cake and she gave it to the prophet first. And amazingly, how many knows that miracle performing a mobility of God caused that meal barrel not to fill up but not to run out. Every day she went back and got just enough, again and again and again. She had to rely on the Lord each and every day for that little bit of meal. So you see, we can trust God even when the closet is not full.
even when the bank account is not where it needs to be. Because our faith and trust should be in God and not our own ability. Lean not on our own understanding, but lean on the knowledge and the power of God. Many, many years ago, I told you I worked in the bread company, and this was a long, long time ago. In fact, it was before I was pastoring. That's how long ago it was. And out here, there was a basketball goal, and several of the brothers had come out here, and we were playing a basketball. We got to where we was doing that about every Saturday. And they were a lot younger than me. A lot more athletic. And but I was holding my own for an old man, or older man. Anyway, I was holding my own. I was making my shots and doing pretty good. And I know it was good because I wasn't the last one to be chosen every time. That's pretty good. So I was kind of middle of the road. But anyway, went up to get a rebound. I came down on my ankle, flipped it sideways, and I had sprained my ankle many, many times before. And I said, it'd be out in a minute. Let me just kind of rest this game out, and then I'll play some more. We played two more games. Then I went home that night, and I couldn't put my shoe on. We went to a singing that night. And I had to wear a pair of shoes that just barely could walk. Well, anyway, the next morning was Sunday school time. I hurt all night long. But I got up, and before I went to Sunday school, I went to the emergency room. Drove myself to the emergency room because I still thought it was a sprain. Well, it turned out I had broke my foot. So during this time, they wouldn't let me work at the bread company because I couldn't drive the truck. And also, I had a five-week unpaid vacation. Man, how many has ever been there? We worked on commission and a very little salary, so most of our money was due to what we sold. But they did have a little fund that you received a certain portion of your pay or whatever it was. But it was so small, so minute. And I forgot to tell them not to take out the savings and the other things that was ordinarily come out of my check. And they took, instead of just taking out the basic taxes. And basically, I was bringing home less than $70 a week for 5 weeks. But I was blessed. I had a wife that worked. So we did okay. But I saw this a great opportunity to visit in South Georgia, Daddy's brother and his family. So we got to do that. We went with Daddy and Mom and me and Penny. And I don't even believe we had any children at that time. I think that was a long time ago. Lord. First Penny. I don't think we had any kids then. But anyway, we drove down to Albany, Georgia. And we went to Sunday school with them that morning, and there, at the end of Sunday school, we had a good service. At the end of Sunday school, the preacher got up, the pastor got up, and said, "We have a brother in our church that has fallen on hard times. He's laid off from work, and we want to have a grocery shower for him tonight. So when you come back to the evening service, bring whatever canned goods or whatever, if you have that, or if you want to give money, then bring it. We'll take up a special offering and a grocery shower for our good brother that is laid up at home now and not able to work." So we knew that we were not going to be able to stay that evening service because we was wanting to drive back. Penny had to get my wife back so she'd go to work. Remember, my foot's broke, honey. I'm in Elam. Leave me by the well water and the palm trees. So I went to Penny, and I said, I feel like, giving some money to the pastor for him to put in the offering tonight. Now, I'm telling this for the glory of God, please understand. And some of you already know, I've told it before. And she said, "That's fine, that's great." I love a wife that agrees with you. And I looked at my billfold, and this is honestly what I had. I had a 10, a 5, and a 1. Well, automatically, I said, "No, the 1 ain't enough, Lord. I know better than that." That 5 is in the middle, and it's looking mighty, mighty good. And I said, "I think we'll do that because I'll have the $10. And then when we stop on the way home and get us a hamburger, I'll have enough money for that." And it's just like I'm talking to you, like the voice of the Lord said, "Why don't you give him the 10? And I'm still here in Elam, and I said, "Lord, $6 ain't going to buy much hamburgers. Penny's going to go hungry." In all sincerity, I struggled with it. I struggled with it because, like I said, bringing less than $70 a home, and everything that was going for expenses and payments and stuff, bills and stuff like that. So,
And I knew that they would want to stop, and I didn't want to be a burden to Daddy. And, you know, the $10 looked good. And so Penny said, well, do what you want to do. And I said, well, I want to do the $5. I said, but the Lord is telling me to do the $10. So I did the $10. I said, okay, Lord, I'm just going to trust you. And I went and took the $10 to the pastor, and I told him, put this in the offering. We're not going to be able to stay tonight. So anyway, here we go. And you know what? We were able to eat. Penny had, I think she had some money or something. Anyway, we were able to eat, got home, had a good time. And just as we was driving up the driveway, I don't know if y'all remember what, but where we used to live, it was Mom and Dad in this house, my grandmother and granddaddy in this house, and then Penny and I lived in the back house. So we stopped, let Mom and Dad out of the van. We drove up to the next, and here's my grandmother out in the yard waving a big manila envelope, kind of like this right here, and she's waving it. And I stopped, and she said, this man drove up and said to give you this, and I don't know what's in it, but he said to give you this. And I said, okay. You know, I put it in the car, didn't open it then, got home, we unloaded, done everything that was doing then, you know, and I looked at the envelope, and I looked in there. There were $100 in there, 10 times what I thought was a sacrifice. Now, I'm telling you that to tell you that God will give us a measure daily as we need it. If we'll trust Him, always trust Him. Don't ever question Him. And I know it's hard sometimes. I know it's hard, and it's not only just finances. It is our spiritual walk with God. I need fresh manna every day. Somehow, some way. Sometimes I get it through a scripture. Sometimes I get it through a praise song that's on the radio as we're driving down the road. I've gotten it on a church marquee sometimes. I've gotten it sometimes when you're just driving and just God puts a thought in your heart and your mind, and I say, thank you, Lord. That is exactly what I needed today. And I'll tell you some of the best places you can find, amen, a measure of fresh manna is in this wonderful book that we call the Bible. Anywhere you want to search, sometimes it may be exactly what you want to hear or what you need. How many is thankful that we have the ability to receive fresh manna on a daily basis? Maybe there's some here tonight that have been feeding on old manna. It's not a sin to do that. No. But you can have fresh manna. You can have a freshening filling. You can have a refreshing of the power of God. A refilling, if you would. Just a mighty anointing. I like it when God just seems to kind of roll back the rooftop of the church and begins to pour out His blessing and His anointing upon the church. And I know what Satan says. Satan says it's Sunday night. Got to work in the morning. Just let us stay in Elam. But maybe it's time to move into the wilderness and be dependent on God for a fresh anointing. Because we don't know what tomorrow we're going to face or next week. But I know one thing. With God, we will be victorious. We are more than conquerors through God. Would you stand? Please, every head bowed, every eye closed. We say this altar is open. It's never closed. Amen. It's open all the time. If you have a need, if you want a refreshing, if you want that fresh manna, that experience all over again, this altar is open for you. Come forward tonight. Even without a song, well, every head is bowed, every eye closed. Lord, feed me. Feed me. Fill my cup. I lift it up. Amen. I wonder if we could sing that. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, fill it up and make me whole. One more time, church. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, fill it up and make me whole.
Some of you would gather around this.
Brother Eddie was going over the scripture in my little study Bible beside it. It just said, daily duties. And I Amen. Think about this as our daily devotions. I think about it as things that we do. Where would we be without the Lord? He struggles in times now as we call on Him, but to know, just like He assured them with the manna and the bread, that everything that He did, that God will do that for us today. Just
yes,
praise the
will.
Lord. Love that
praise.
Message. Love that message. Just love each and every one of you. It's been a wonderful day from the testimonies of praise we got to see this morning when Brother Terry walked through these doors.
Amen.
And just spoke to Sister Connie a little earlier, and knowing that Brother Terry's just don't want him to overpush his limits, want him just to give, let the God just guide him in each and every step. And we're just for those of you that see Brother Terry's post, it's always so positive, always so uplifting, and he's giving God all the glory. And for Miss Connie too. And I know the journey they're both going through is great, but God is greater. And we just love the Lord. All hearts and minds clear. I want to invite you back for service Wednesday night. Don't forget about all the other ministries going forward. And I'm going to do something I haven't passed around to anybody. I just feel led to it tonight. Normally we have our band of brothers on the fourth Tuesday, but with the revival and everything coming up, I wouldn't like to invite any of y'all that want to join us. I'm feeling led just we're just meeting sanctuary here. Tuesday night, 7-ish, just have a prayer, just getting ready for revival for those in need. It's not inclusive. Everyone's welcome, but if anybody wants to meet, we'll just open the doors for a short while and have prayer Tuesday night, and just get ready for our revival and for all the other activities going forward. So praise God. All right, spread the word. Let everybody know this revival's coming. With this prayer, we'll be dismissed. Love each and every one of you. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise Your holy name. Lord, thank You for Your word, dear Lord. Thank You for the infilling, dear Lord, that you've given each and every one of us. Dear Lord, as we prepare to depart, dear Lord, I ask for your protection and safety to be placed on each and every one. Bring us back at our appointed time, dear Lord, and we just want to give you all the honor and glory. Lord, now we thank you for answering prayers. We thank you, dear Lord, for showing us through your mighty love, your mercy, and your grace. And we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen. Amen. Praise God. It's off. I promise you.